Welcome to Sacred Magic. Violet is on a quest to bring sacredness back into our everyday experiences. Anyone can have an extraordinary life when they are able to tap into the sacred magic within. Violet and her guests will be sharing their divine passions, inspirations, and stories of connecting with their sacred magic. We are so happy you have joined us today. Let's get started with your host, the magical creator of Discover Your Spiritual Gifts, Violet Rain.
Hi, welcome to Sacred Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Violet Rain, and I have with me again today, Nikki Milton, my daughter. And we kind of once a month sit and talk about the monthly energies that we experience through sacred priesthood, through the seasons that have always come up. And this is the month of March. And March for us is about connections. It's about, you know, the connections we have with family, with friends, with coworkers, with the neighbor next door. It's all about connections. And I think when we think about relationships and connections, the most important thing to think about is how do we set healthy boundaries? Because for some of us, it's easy. And for some of us, it's very difficult to kind of navigate those waters of healthy boundaries. Because some of us are people pleasers. We want to please everyone. We want everybody to love and like us. She tells me all the time that that's not how this works. But why can't everybody love everybody?
My people will identify themselves as my people by whether or not they love or like me. And if they don't, as my daddy used to say, I think the line starts somewhere back there, and I'll get around to you never.
It's very interesting for some of us that, at least for me, and I'll talk about me, is I can be super sensitive to things going on around me, and I want everybody to love and like me and to embrace me. And the truth is, I'm not for everyone. And it's hard. It's hard to embrace that I'm not for everyone, because I would really like to be for everyone, but it just doesn't work out that way. And so, how do we set healthy boundaries? What makes sense around healthy boundaries? It can be difficult to figure that out. And what
not only that, social conditioning, society, it does not make setting healthy relationship boundaries easy, because society will tell you, oh, it's your family or it's your blank, and you should, you know, do whatever it takes to try to make that work, because you've only got one family, or you've only got one sibling, or you won't, you know. And so the pressure by society is not necessarily, hey boo, do what's right for you and your mental health and, you know, improving your life. It's, hey, you got to make these toxic relationships work, because that's who you've got, right? That's what society tells you. So it's not even just the tough thing about being a people pleaser or having inner child wounds about acceptance or worth or any of that, you know, trying to work through all that in real time with the people around you. It's also society telling you, hey, you should bend over backwards to make sure you have a relationship with this person.
You know, and there's a balance here. I mean, we were talking yesterday in the center, there was like four or five of us, about how difficult it is sometimes to find a community where you can feel connected, where you can come and talk about who you are, and there's a little bit of acceptance there, right? And we've always said in our community, it's very inclusive. As long as you're not hurting someone, you're not, you know, doing harm emotionally, mentally, or physically, you have a place here, and we will embrace that. Now, if you make people feel uncomfortable, if you hurt their feelings, if you're doing things against other people, then this isn't going to be your community or place. But, you know, all of us have had those experiences when we were young children in school, and kids can be the hardest, right, of judgmental criticism and, you know, not being accepted for who you are, just wanting to hide.
My husband and I were talking about that just this morning. It's one of those conundrums for me, in that I know the schools and the youth organizations, for as long as I've had kiddos, which is at least the last 20, 25 years, are really pushing like bully prevention training. They're really talking anti-bullying stuff. And then in my experience of being a Girl Scout leader for 13 years, we would talk about bullying in my, I had two different troops. And what I found was every time we would discuss bullying, there wasn't a kiddo in the room that didn't resonate or identify with bullying. And sometimes it would be peer bullying. Sometimes it would be teacher bullying. And I think maybe just a teacher, you know, being a little firm that, you know, there's weird things that goes with this. Like, is it really bullying or is this somebody being firm? Is it really bullying or do we have an argument with somebody? Was it one-sided or two-sided? But my experience has been telling me that there isn't a human on the planet who doesn't identify with having been bullied at some point by someone. And the bullying training doesn't seem to be solving the problem. So, you know, how we connect and relate to each other, and, you know, kids mirror what they see at home. They mirror what they see with their peers, right? They mirror what they see on TV and on their devices. And so they, you know, they don't have the emotional maturity or social training, you know, right, to get that right. But then if we slap the bullying label on it, and sometimes it is bullying, but sometimes it's just two people not getting along. Like, I don't know, it's tough.
It is tough.
We're clearly not figuring it out.
It's really tough because we talk about being accepting of things that are not like us. We tend to lean towards people that are similar to us, that have similar beliefs, values, whatever that looks like, and accepting people outside of that, it makes us uncomfortable. It can put us in situations where we don't feel like we're a fit. So it does take work on our part to kind of be part of that and to accept people where they are in their path and not try to push them one way or another is really hard for us because we want everybody to be like us and we want everybody to love us and we want everybody to like us. And,
when we're young, you know, this relationship will work with this partner because, you know, there's an expectation that they'll change over time or that you'll be able to change them over time. And it's like, you know, with a little maturity and experience, you're like, oh, no, you should not be picking a partner that you feel like needs to change because that's not going to work out in your benefit because, you know, we very rarely change just because somebody else wants us to. If we're going to change as people, it's because we see a need within ourselves to change. We don't do it for others, right? And so there's a little bit of that too. And just, you know, there's just things that we miss because we're not mature or wise enough or experienced enough to see these pitfalls before we jump right into them.
Very true. You know, one of the terms that I also want to talk about today is energy vampires, because we throw that word around a lot. Such and such is an energy vampire. Such and such group is an energy vampire. So what is an energy vampire? And this is my definition. Sometimes, at least most of the time, I believe that energy vampires are really individuals who are unintentionally, they have no idea that they're doing it, but they're suffering from grief, depression, loneliness, any of those things,
neglect. Or they've been
sick, neglect, doesn't have love in their lives, and they see someone that's full of light and joy and happiness, and their natural reaction on a subconscious level is, oh, right? Because they don't have that in their lives. And I don't think there are a few that definitely know what they're doing and they're draining or taking energy. But that few I find is very, 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 very small. Most individuals, they're unhappy, they're unloved, they're lonely, they're dealing with grief, they've been sick for a long time, depression, any of that, because their energy's low and they don't have that joy and happiness. So they're reaching for others that do. And you have this energy vampire. And what I mean by that is you go and spend time with someone and you come home and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm just exhausted. I feel like I ran
story
a marathon.
Story time. So I have a friend and I can be like, I am the master of boundaries. I probably over boundary. I probably do too much boundary setting because I am your classic INFJ introvert personality who's I am good company for myself. I do not need others. And so when I come across a challenge, I usually boundary the hell out of that. But if I let you in, I can be super loyal and forgiving and understanding and a good shoulder to talk to and cry on. So I had a friend for a while, and I had overlooked some value personality behaviors that other people were really upset about regarding this person, because I'd gotten to know her and, you know, and so she would come over, and it took me a long time to realize this. We were friends for a couple of years, and she would come over in the afternoons and she would sit down and she would talk to me. And it was always the same issue that she kept bringing up, right? And we'd just be rehashing the same thing over and over. And one day I realized when she left, I was like, wow, she left feeling really good about that, even though it's the same interaction we've had five times in a row and the same topic and conversation, where I finally told her, I'm like, look, I don't have anything new for you here. Like, I didn't come up with something different since yesterday. But she left feeling really good, and I left feeling really drained, right? And so she was not a bad person. She was not doing it consciously. She just knew that she would come and talk to her friend and she would leave feeling better. But the problem was, after she left, I felt like crap. And so I sort of slowly started moving back from that relationship, which is how I deal with setting a boundary sometimes. It's like, she's not in trouble, right? But it was like, also I had to be thinking about me and my energy levels and, you know, how it impacted my day. And, you know, I had to take care of me too. So over time, that relationship kind of dissolved. But I had really taken it for the team when it came to her, and like, you know, the friend group and with other friends. And, you know, it's like that one was a tough one, but yet I still acknowledge she was not doing it on purpose. She was not a bad person, right? She was just struggling with something, and it felt good to talk to me, but she wasn't really thinking about how it made me feel afterwards.
You know, and sometimes it'll happen in relationships for a short period of time. Like, they're going through a really bad spell, and so they really need this, and then they move past that. You know, we have to think about, sometimes a person's in this really dark place, and we have to think about that. And the reason it brings that up, when I moved to California, I moved out there and I really didn't know anybody. Nobody. I moved to a state for a guy. And believe it or not, that guy doesn't even live on this planet anymore. He passed while I was out there. But I moved out there because I thought me and this guy could have an opportunity. I mean, how many of us have picked up everything we owned and relocated our lives in the hopes that love would work out?
There was also a job situation and a recession situation. Like, it wasn't just the guy, but the guy was certainly a motivating factor.
It was a motivating factor. It was a big motivating factor. And the job never worked out either. I didn't have a job when I went there. I went there without a job, thinking, oh, I've started over before. I can start over again. I can make this work. This is easy.
Trade one ocean for another.
Trade one ocean for another. That's right, because I like the ocean. And anyways, I went out there and I was really in a bad spot. I had been downsized in my job. No fault of my own. I had moved to a place that I knew nobody. I didn't have family out there. I didn't have friends out there. I really didn't have no job, no anything out there. And so I was really in this really bad, dark place. And I met this group of spiritual people. It was a spiritual group. And I started hanging out with them until one day one of them came to me and said, until you're in a better place and happy, we really don't want you to come around anymore. Do you know how devastating it is to someone who's in a really dark, bad place to have somebody come to them and go, you're not accepted here. We don't want to hear your stories. And yes, I was spinning in the mud a little bit, right? I just needed some help to get out of that mud. And we've all been there where we can't.
What that told me is that, one, I'm never going back to your group again. And two, I will tell everyone I know to avoid you like the plague.
Right? So, you know, we're talking about relationships today and healthy boundaries and how we do that. And I think it's understanding that sometimes someone's in a really bad place and they need us. sometimes it's a behavior or cycle that they do all the time, and you just can't energetically participate in that long term, like Nikki found in this one relationship. Sometimes it's with family that we have to say, I'm going to love you, but I can't do this anymore.
That's the hardest, because everybody then wants to fix it, because they're like, oh my gosh, you should really have a relationship with this person because they're your family. And I'm like, no, because every interaction is negative. Every interaction makes me feel worse about humanity in my life. Like, no, I mean, at some point you have to be like, I love you, but I need to let you go because this is not working.
Yeah, and that's hard. Does it mean that you don't love them? Absolutely not. I always talk about, you know, you have Aunt Margaret that you go and spend the whole day with, and then you come home and you're like, oh my God, I'm so exhausted, but she's my aunt and it's important and I need to spend time. Well, I would say, yes, keep spending time, but maybe you don't spend the whole day with them. Maybe you only spend an hour or so, and maybe you plan it so that you're doing something fun either
go
later
to the movies
that
where
day
you don't have to talk
or the next day so that you can refill your tank afterwards, that you're doing some self-care there. It's about setting healthy boundaries. And I think another healthy boundary is learning to say no. You know, we have Michelle Thomas on our team, and I love her because she's like, no is a full sentence. You don't have to explain why there's a no. You don't have to go into detail about the no. You just say no. Hey, Violet, we want you to do no.
And honestly, if somebody reacts negatively to that, like the four agreements, right? If you've read the four agreements, what is it? Don Miguel Ruiz, I think, is the author. One of those agreements is don't take anything personally. Because honestly, when people react negatively to you, it's not really about you. They're triggered by some shadow, other relationship, past thing, their emotions, like fill in the blank, right? And so it's like if somebody reacts to you saying no, it's not really about you, because if they cared about you, they'd respect your right to say no. It's about something that's getting triggered in them, or some need they want to fill, or expectation they have of you that really isn't your responsibility.
Right. And we some of us, especially as people pleasers, we end up volunteering and doing stuff all over the place that we really don't have time for. As Nikki says, oh gosh, she's taking on another project. I take on projects a lot. It's like, oh.
Those projects are sometimes people.
And I'll be like, I want to help. And she's like, oh dear.
Which is sweet, right? Commendable. If you have the time and the energy and the bandwidth to do that.
I really want to help people. So, you know, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to kind of help people.
But you're more social and extroverted than I am. So, you know, more power to you.
But honestly, look at what I've seen people grow and change and shift. And, you know, when I stand back and look at the differences from before to now with a lot of people, it makes my heart happy because I've been able to help them move through some stuff to get in a better place, to have a better life. And, you know, that's what brings me the greatest joy is helping people. But
so I want to share something nerdy, because you keep saying people pleaser, right? So the Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin, you can go and get the book if you're a nerd like me and you want a deep dive. But the Four Tendencies have to do with how we respond to expectations, right? And so oftentimes our expectations are in our relationships, right? And so everyone falls into one bucket, and it's your one bucket for your whole life. Although once you're aware of it, you might be able to get better at it. Violet and I are both obligers. So that's your people pleaser, right? And so, like, I don't let many people in, but once you're in, I'll bend over backwards for you. That's why I keep my circle small. I only have so much energy. But anyway, if you're an obliger, that means the way you respond to expectations is you're more likely to meet the expectations of someone else than you are to meet your own internal expectations, right? That's Trina.
Hi, Trina. We love you, Trina.
We're doing a podcast. Hi. That's our reader for today at the center. So obligers are more likely to be your people pleasers because they're going to spend their time meeting the expectations of others instead of their own expectations. Upholders are, you know, your type A perfectionist. I'm going to meet all expectations if it kills me, both internal and external. I'm going to meet them all. He may be a little upholdery, honestly. Rebels, they just won't have anything to do with any expectations whatsoever. The second you put an expectation on the table, they're out. So raising a rebel can be really hard, right? And they're out just for the basis of, hey, it's an expectation, so I don't want anything to do with it. So that can be kind of tough, but there are some healthy and well-functioning rebels out there. And then my husband, who's a questioner, which means I will meet your expectation, but you have to convince me why it's a value or of worth, right? Whether it's internally or externally, there has to be some sort of merit attached to it for someone to meet it. So our obliger friends, our people pleasers, are often the ones who end up being subject to something called obliger rebellion, which means after you've spent who knows how much amount of time just meeting the expectations of everyone else and not taking care of yourself, you tend to have a meltdown publicly or privately, and you tend to lose your for like a little bit, and then you reset and you go about meeting everybody else's expectations again. So you want to, if that appeals to you and you want to learn more about that, and you know, quizzes and stuff to for the relationships in your life, it's The Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin.
We will put that in the description where we post this so you can look that up and go find that.
And The Four Agreements by Don Miguel
great
Ruiz.
Great resource.
Well, right.
So we would love that. So what a great conversation today. Healthy boundaries. March is out all about connections. So how are you going to set healthy boundaries? What are some things for you to think about? When do you need to say no? Who are energy vampires and how do they affect you and energetically? And what do healthy boundaries look like? So
there are a lot of books out there on the topic, right? And there's a lot. I mean, this is work. This is not something that you just wake up tomorrow and you're like, I'm going to set my healthy boundaries today and everything is sunshines and rainbows. This is like a habit that you have to like develop and a muscle you have to work. And if you know somebody in your life is really good at setting healthy boundaries, like pick their ear, right? But, you know, just setting an intention that, you know, not to damage your
behavior,
Trina. Not to like necessarily go out and blow up all your relationships, right? But to start practicing those healthy boundaries as things have gotten to be so divisive, you know, and we've politicize like everything from our physical health to our identities to, you know, fill in the blank. Learning how to set healthy boundaries and say no and exit right on a conversation, you know, maybe hang out with somebody less or get more creative about how you hang out with them. All of that stuff are ways to make your life better and your relationships healthier.
I love that. I love that. Well, thank you for checking out our podcast today and joining us. I hope you'll like and comment on all of our channels. We would love to see you back here. As we do, Nikki and I do a conversation every month on a different topic. I drag her in, and when she comes in like today, I don't have anything to add to this, so I don't know what we're going to talk about. And then she
The last two ones, I'm like, this isn't my genius zone, guys.
And then she's able to add. So see, isn't that great? We love that.
The INFJ who can't shut up.
I love that. Okay, folks, thanks for watching. I hope you have a sacred and magical day, and we hope to see you soon.
Thank you for joining us. To find out more about Violet, head over to discoveryourspiritualgifts.com. You can also send a personal message to Violet through email, violet@discoveryourspiritualgifts.com. If you love this show, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Until next time, remember, we are all meant to have abundant and joyful lives. We hope to see you soon at Discover Your Spiritual Gifts.